way you sip your tea. The memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams. The way you sing off key. The way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me.
As we've been discussing this morning, 100 years after his birth, Frank Sinatra's legacy lives on as one of the most iconic artists of the 20th century. While many of us still remember Frank Sinatra, future generations, what will they know about Frank Sinatra? Well, we welcome the authors of the new book, Frankie Liked to Sing, the only picture book of its kind celebrating the man who charmed the world with his blue eyes and extraordinary voice. Frankie Liked to Sing has words by John Seven and pictures by Jana Christie. John and Jana are also the creators of A Year with Friends. They live in North Adams, Massachusetts. And their new book is Frankie Liked to Sing, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jana and John to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
So, John, let us begin with you of how this particular project came about.
Well, we've always been Sinatra fans, and there were always aspects of his childhood that we thought were fun and interesting just in a historical perspective, but also maybe something kids might identify with, this kind of singular-minded, he was born to do this thing, and that's what he, you know, was focused on doing. So it was really, I guess about a year and a half ago, we realized that his 100th anniversary was coming up, his 100th birthday. And that seemed like a pretty good time to just go ahead and finally do it.
And it seems also like the perfect way, Jana, to pass this on to a younger generation of our love of Sinatra.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, our kids grew up listening to Sinatra. They called him Uncle Frank. So he's kind of like an absent member of our family. And they grew up listening to his songs, and we thought it would be good to sort of spread that a little bit.
So let's talk about the words, and then we'll talk about the pictures. And as you mentioned, John, part of the story that you wanted to talk about here is his determination, really, to stay true to himself and to bring that one thing that he did so well, singing, and to continue it.
Yes. I think any of us adults who know much about Sinatra knows that he was an incredibly complex person with a lot of dark sides. But he, you know, he started out with this one kind of pure goal in life, and this one thing that no matter whatever else happened, people just took to, and that was his voice. And I also think that anybody who's ever been a kind of a weird arts kid can identify with that situation. You know, you love drawing or you love writing, and you know, you're focused on making that happen and making that the center of your life. So I saw that as a real connection between Sinatra and the rest of us, you know, and the rest of us in the 21st century, because he tends to, get presented as, he's such an icon that, and you think of him as an older person, I don't think that, maybe younger people find him approachable personality-wise because of that. So I thought that was all a connection with just between him and the rest of us.
Say about half the book really focuses in on that upbringing in Hoboken. And Hoboken in New Jersey, very much a part of the story.
Yes. They're totally linked. In some ways, it's partially Hoboken's story, I think. Just because I wouldn't say he put Hoboken on the map, but the name just is always, they're always together. And you go there, and Frank Sinatra is
everywhere.
You can't have one without the other, and really understand him, I don't think.
You talk in the book, John, about his going to department stores to buy suits and collared shirts and ties and having these fancy clothes and being picked on for wearing those clothes. And Jana, in all of these illustrations, mm-hmm. Frankie's wearing a hat.
That is inspired by the photograph that we include in the very end of the book of a very, very young Sinatra in his suit that's way too big and a fedora. And that seemed like, boy, he picked his look very, very early, and he just stuck with it. I mean, I know he went through other phases through childhood where he liked to dress up sort of in yachting outfits and stuff, too, I think inspired by Bing Crosby's kind of look at the time. But, yeah, I kind of grabbed onto that photo as the inspiration and just kept with it because he really did stick with that look for the most part through his life.
So whether he's loading papers or sitting on a on a stoop or performing for large groups of people, he's wearing that hat and that suit.
He's always got it.
Which seems like it would be great for kids to see, and it's comical, but it's also very true to who he was.
Yes. Style was extremely important to him.
And then, John, as you say, it's very much a Hoboken story, but then it moves to New York and finding his way, and we see him have this great success. And you tell that story rather effortlessly of how he really clawed and scraped and then found it, but that ultimately it was that fact that he liked to sing and that he was so good at it that conquered all, really.
Yeah, with a lot of hard work. And, you know, obviously in a picture book, you don't go into all the nitty-gritty of that kind of process, but he worked for years and years and got help and made friends and you know, worked in some crummy places and some odd places. He was a singing waiter for a while, but yes, he always stuck with it. But I think most importantly, he also realized that through those years he could learn things from other people, and so he spent a lot of time hanging around with jazz musicians. He apparently used to go see Billie Holiday all the time, basically just to study her technique. And so there was a lot of that stuff in his New York adventure as well, which I, you know, we touch on.
You have a great line in the book. The sound of his voice made everyone listening believe that Frankie understood exactly how they were feeling. Frankie's voice was like a reassuring pat on the back.
Yeah, and I think that was part of his magic. I think that's what was different about him. There were plenty of crooners back then and plenty of crooners who could sing a song just fine. But he managed to take these, you know, like Tin Pan Alley and Broadway tunes that were made for a specific purpose and kind of personalize them. And even in his voice, he still... He didn't have that, I don't know what that accent people had back then would be, sort of proper schooled accent. Sinatra had a Jersey accent come out in his singing, so it sounded real, and I think people latched onto that.
In many of your drawings, Jana, that take place in either New York or Hoboken, we not only see Frankie on the street, but we also see what's going on in the buildings through the windows. You fill those window panes with characters.
Yeah, it's especially the spread where he first arrives in New York. A lot of things are going on in the text, and I use the windows as a way to sort of portray his all the work he was doing that John just talked about. He, in one window, you see him getting voice lessons, in another window, you see him in the Cotton Club, and then so that's the work he was doing, and then in the following windows, we see people reacting to his voice. And, you know, while I was illustrating the book, I was listening pretty much nonstop to Sinatra music and visualizing what it was like back then just to hear his voice coming over the radio. And so all of those little people in the background and in the windows are sort of inspired by that.
And as you point out, John, in the text, but also as you say, Jen, in the pictures, that really wherever he went, whether it was parties or school or delivering the papers of the front stoop, people were listening. And that's basically what you're illustrating too, is that here is this guy who is singing and sings beautifully, and when he sang, people listened.
Exactly.
Although he, you know, in the book it does mention a point of struggle for him where he realized he needed to do something a little more. I think he was hanging out on his porch playing ukulele, which I had no idea Sinatra played ukulele until we did this book. And he realized he had to, you know, it wasn't enough just to expect people to pay attention because he was doing it. He had to, get out there and work a little harder for it.
And there is that Bing Crosby cameo, too.
Yes.
We were very happy to introduce some kids to Bing Crosby that may not know who he is.
Because he was so special to Frank Sinatra.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
He's really the framing device of Sinatra's, you know, bio, from the early days idolizing him to, you know, from the radio. And then seeing him the night and saying, hey, I can do that, which he could. But then, you know, the real icing on the cake is when he was in high society with him. It's kind of like, for us, those were the three real frames of Sinatra's process in his success.
Was it always your decision, and I assume it was a decision, to use Frankie throughout the book instead of what most people know him as is Frank?
Yes, mostly just because it didn't make any sense to us to suddenly switch to Frank. They used to call him Frankie when he was younger, and it just flowed.
That really became the character that I was drawing to. We needed, because we had to take certain leaps with the way he looked or, you know, how certain scenes were portrayed. We had to really look at him as a character as well, and I think that helped, just like keeping the hat on him.
Right. The book is, besides really honoring somebody with that is such a cultural icon, but it is also a tremendous amount of fun. There's a lot of fun in the book, and I assume that was a conscious decision as well to make this really about, as you say, focusing on the singing and making it about that.
Oh yeah, and I guess you could. Because of the era he grew up, I guess you could do a more serious toned story of a kid in the rough streets and, you know, near the docks and all that. But that never seemed to be the way he approached life. So it didn't seem right for us to take that tone. We wanted to look at the world kind of through his lens.
Yeah, I mean, really just trying to keep the spirit of his larger-than-life personality, and, you know, most of my favorite movies and songs, well, I was going to say are the more lighthearted ones, but that's not really true. But he just had so much life in him, and it all came out through his song. It really just, it seemed like that would be the personality of the book.
Well, Booklist writes of the book, clearly a labor of love. Frankie Liked to Sing is a sweet introduction to the man behind the voice. The book is Frankie Liked to Sing. It is published by Abrams. John Seven wrote the words, pictures by Jana Christie. John and Jana, I thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
And congratulations on a beautiful book.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Again, it's Frankie Liked to Sing, words by John Seven, pictures by Jana Christie. The book is published by Abrams. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Oh, give me land, lots of land on the starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please. Don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle neath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Too many words, gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.